Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, today talking with Marty Vanier, Director of Partnership Development with NBAF, and Dr. Ken Burton, NBAF Coordinator for USDA APHIS. Talk a little bit about construction here in this next segment. As mentioned, we're getting closer to fruition here at the NBAF facility here. Last time, Marty, we were here, I know you spoke about how many areas are now enclosed. What's new there? Is there new equipment arriving by chance?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, I was out on the street. I was out on Tuttle Creek Boulevard yesterday, and here comes this truck with stuff on the back that was obviously air handling equipment. Stuff on the back, and I'm going, huh, that's kind of interesting. I wonder if that's going to NBAF. And sure enough, the truck turns the corner onto Kimball, and I look, and it's a U.S. engineering truck. And it's like, yep, that's where they're going. Most of the main lab is enclosed now. So the central utility plant has been fired up because now you need to start heating the inside so people can work inside. There is equipment being installed all the time. It's past the point where you can drop breadcrumbs and find your way around. I probably will never, ever walk through the building by myself because I'm not sure I could find my way out. It was easy when there was nothing in the building, but now it's kind of hard. So lots of equipment is going in, and I think one of the things that is important, USDA has got folks here already doing what we're calling shadowing. Because the central utility plant is up and running, the shadows have been here because there's a point in time where the building is no longer a building. It's a giant machine. And so whoever works there has to understand how to run the machine and how to tune it up and how to fix it and all of that. So the cup shadows, that's what they're here to do, is to understand how the cup works, because the engineering firm that built it and has been running it for the last couple of years is still here. So the shadows can learn from the people who built it and have been running it how to in fact run it, and then have kind of a smooth handoff at some point. So that's been an interesting experience, I'm sure, for everybody, you know, going through that and getting ready to light that up and finish construction in the laboratory and start to commission all of that equipment and do the same thing and learn how everything works. So
I imagine training's just got to be constant out there.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty much. And there will be certain areas in the building that will be constantly monitored. Air handling equipment, there will be a team that will be managing the air handling equipment, and they'll start on one end of the building and work to the other and then go back to the front end again and start over. I mean, it will take them an entire year to go through and check and maintain all that equipment, and then they start over again. And it'll be the same thing, I think, on the lower level with all the waste management equipment. You'll have constant inspections, constant monitoring, constant sensors. You know, you're going to have people there all the time watching that.
Well, that's good, and it's very important here. Let's take a call here. Good morning. You're on In Focus here with Marty Vanier and Dr. Ken Burton.
Well, thank you for being there. Let's talk about the operating procedures. When an accident would happen in our nuclear industry, we would have Geiger counters to tell about the contamination of the victim, and we would move them out to our transition point, just like you're going to have one out there in the warehouse. And we would lay them out on the plastic and use the Geiger counters to decontaminate that person, and then put them in plastic and liners in the ambulance to put them in there to take them to the emergency room. Well, with the viruses, you don't have a Geiger counter or method to detect the contamination, and the accidents are going to happen. You know, they took the virus home down there at College Station, Texas. It's going to happen, just like it happened in the nuclear industry. May I suggest, of course, we had health physics and care facility there on site, but when this accident does happen, you have an ambulance of your own that you can contaminate rather than ours. And rather than going over to our little first aid station here at Via Christi, we don't have a level one or level two emergency room. I would suggest that as a United States government facility, you take your victims out to Fort Riley to the federal guarded controlled access facility to the hospital there that would have more of a interest and more of a educated method of dealing with the virus and whatever is going to happen there at your facility. Thank you so much for your consideration for these points.
Well, thank you for those comments. I can assure you that there are a team of folks who are looking at those kinds of plans. Clearly, Biosecurity Research Institute, which is a level three laboratory and is part of the Select Agent Program, has to have those plans and maintain those plans, and they, in fact, exercise their plans pretty regularly with fire EMS in the hospital. So it will be much the same system in NBAF, where there will be plans for response, plans for decon, coordination with all of the services in town that we might possibly need.
Okay. Good question there. I see Nick over there on the phone. We might have another question coming here. All right. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yeah, good morning. I know we can't change what we've done. We can't undo it. But, you know, everybody was involved with that situation and giving the land away and saying this is a rah-rah deal, good deal. We're going to sell a bazillion houses in Manhattan, and we built a bazillion houses, and some of them are still for sale, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the only reason that they came here is because of Coburn Hills Golf Course. Anyway, I don't know why in our wildest dreams they didn't put it out at Fort Riley. With one entrance in, one entrance out, helicopter pads, airport. If you have a problem, you got the military to stop it. So we don't put it right next to a rest home, a university with 22,000 students, a 56,000 population city, a 74,000 population county. When the monkeys and the bugs get out, and it kills all the cattle in the 40-county area, and kills all the people in Manhattan, what, I asked one of the legislators, what are we going to do with all the money then? I tell you what, if the thing ever opens, I'll be real surprised. It should have been opened several years ago. I guess it's 2025 now. Trump might stop the whole thing. You've gone from one department to another department. And there's never a definitive answer except when this lady's on, pretty much definitive answer. And I'll just finish with the one question. When will it be open, functional, geared up, and people living here? Thank you.
Well, I can Ken and I can answer those questions for you. We do have a timeline that we've been working off of. And at this point, we are still on that same schedule. Construction of the building itself will be finished in December of 2020. Commissioning activities, which have already begun, will be finished in 2021. Once those activities are finished, then we go through the select agent registration process, which allows the various viruses that are intended to be studied at NBAF. We have to go through a registration process. It's basically a giant permitting process that's very, very complex, very elaborate, and very detailed. It's more than having a driver's license, certainly. You not only have to register the individual laboratory and have it inspected to be sure that it is adequate to be used for research on that agent, but you also have to have all of the people involved in that laboratory with that agent registered, and you have to demonstrate that they have been appropriately trained. You also have to establish all of your processes and procedures for the handling and storage of that particular agent. And until you can demonstrate all of those things, then you will not be allowed to have a permit, and without a permit, you cannot have the agent and cannot do any research on it. So the select agent process is going to take quite a bit of time. We've actually been meeting with that program for the last 2 years so that they can become familiar with the capabilities in the building and all of the nature of all of the engineering and construction. And they've been involved in understanding the teams that are going to be writing all of the protocols for work. So that hopefully will be finished in about 2022. And then once we have that permitting, we can then start bringing viral samples into the laboratory. So the date we're looking at this point for everything to light up and research to begin would be 2023. With respect to people coming to town, as Ken discussed earlier, in the next couple of years, there will be some significant hiring because we will be finishing construction, we will be doing commissioning, and all of those folks that we need to have to run this giant machine need to be on board, understand the machine, give it a test drive, make sure they understand how everything works, make sure everything works as it was intended. And you want all of that done before you begin research. So there is a ramp up to this, and we're starting that ramp up now to be prepared to do research in 2023.
And Dr. Vanier, my understanding is that you haven't faced any significant delays on this schedule. Is that correct?
Not at all.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, we've run out of time here, but appreciate you guys answering these questions here. Good questions, guys. And we'll talk to you again next month, I guess.
Thanks.
Thank you, Brandon.
All right, Dr. Ken Burton, Marty Vanier, joining us here from NBAF. Stay tuned. Perry Wiggins will be coming up next on In Focus here on KMAN.